I want you to know today, I'm not going to be talking down to you. I need what I'm going to preach as much as you do. But I believe God laid a subject on me that's pretty pertinent. I'm going to call this Thanksgiving or Murmuring. Which will it be, Thanksgiving or Murmuring? You know, murmuring and complaining reveal a lack of thankfulness, and they're great sins that God greatly is displeased with. We're all prone to do that, and we may not complain outwardly, even though a lot of times we even do that, but sometimes we complain in our souls. Let me tell you something I heard one time. It's kind of humorous in a way, but it makes a great point. If we don't be careful, we think that God owes us a real great life if we don't be careful. We want to be good health, feel good, have everything going fine. And then sometimes if things don't go as we want them to do, we have a pain or sickness or a setback, then we can begin to murmur in our souls if we don't be careful. So here's the story. One time there was a man who just was in his house, and somebody knocked on his door and said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a $100 bill." So he gave him a $100 bill for no reason whatsoever. He came for an entire week, and he gave him a $100 bill every week. The next week, he knocked on the neighbor's door. This guy said, "Hey, where's my $100 bill?" He didn't deserve anything. It's just a free gift. But he thought he got to where he thought that he would owe that $100 bill. You know, God doesn't owe us anything, really. Anything we have is free grace. It reminds me of over in the book of Luke, where the man said, if we've done all we're supposed to do, we can just say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done that which is my duty to do. So I want to talk about murmuring a little bit first, then talk about Thanksgiving. It's God's people are prone to murmur. Of course, the wicked are really prone to murmur. They really murmur. And God's children have the ability to give thanks, but the wicked don't even have that ability to give thanks from the heart. So it's a great blessing. We can give thanks. And by the way, I've been really moved lately to hear about some people who've been in a very bad condition. Like even since Sue Rowe, to hope I don't embarrass her, she's really got COPD and all kinds of stuff. She's really an invalid, but she had been really praising God. That always thrills my soul to see people who you think, well, what can they praise God for? They do it. It's just amazing that God gives us the spirit of thanksgiving. It's a blessing to have the spirit of thanksgiving. Lord loves our thanksgiving. So we ought to develop that trait, but we got to do it by God's grace only. But it's amazing, over in the Old Testament especially, the children of Israel were so blessed. You know, it's amazing how blessed they were. They were in Egypt. That's a terrible place. They were under all kind of bondage. They just groaned and groaned and cried out to God. And God sent them amazing deliverance. In fact, they had their up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming behind them with bloodlust. They were just going to satisfy their vengeance on them. They were just afraid. And God, that night, did such a wonderful thing. He came to that cloud. That cloud was darkness to the Egyptians. On the other side was light for God's people. They went across the Red Sea on dry land all night long. And so then when the Egyptians, you know, tried to get in there and followed them, God took the wheels of their chariots off. And as the Bible said, they drained them heavily. I like the way the King James says that. And then the water came back on them and just drowned them. And they saw the Egyptians, who had been their enemies, just floating around dead on the sea. And so they began to just worship God. Oh, they worshiped God. Moses' song there in the 15th chapter of Ezekiel is Exodus is a wonderful song. Miriam, the prophetess, got her timbrel out. And the women began to dance and praise God. And so, oh, what a deliverance that was. You know what? That same chapter, my friends, they began to murmur. After they saw that, they began to murmur. So I'm going to read you a few verses. I could read you all kinds of verses, but for time's sake, I won't. Let me give you a few verses about them murmuring. Now, this is the same 15th chapter of Exodus. They had just been praising the Lord and had this great song of triumph. And, oh, God, you've been so good to us. We're miserable down here in Egypt. We're going to get slaughtered by the Egyptians. You delivered us. And then almost immediately, when they had their first trial, they began to murmur. Over in the 15th chapter of Exodus, verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" They didn't have any water. Now, God had just delivered them with a great deliverance, and surely this same God could provide them water. They get a little bit thirsty, they have a little setback, and they began to murmur. Then I'm going to go down to the 16th chapter of Exodus. This time they get a little bit hungry, and they have another setback. And God had delivered, he gave water there when they began to complain there in the 15th chapter. So in 16:2, Exodus 16:2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? The whole congregation did that. I can condemn them if I want to, but if I don't be careful, I'm going to find myself in the same position. And then I'll come down to the 17th chapter and verse 3 of Exodus. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle of thirst?" Isn't that amazing? They didn't remember how it was down there in Egypt. They didn't remember how bad it was. And we sometimes don't remember how bad it was to get rescued out of sin and be saved by God's wonderful grace. Let's go back. We were doing pretty good in Egypt. At least we had some water down there. And you brought us out here to just die, kill us of thirst. What an amazing thing. And then one more example. I could give lots of them. If you read there in Exodus and Numbers, you'll be amazed at how they gripe so many times. In Numbers chapter 14, 27, this is when the Lord sent the spies into the land to spy the land out of Canaan, and they came back with a bad report. Thank God Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. But the other 10 gave a bad report, said, "We can't go in there. The giants are in there. We can't do what God tells us to do." They began to really get mad at God. And so let me read to you two verses here from Numbers chapter 14. "How long shall I," and God's saying this now, God's saying that God doesn't like murmuring, folks. We got to realize it's a great sin to murmur. What's some synonyms? Grumble, gripe, complain. Am I stepping on some toes? I'm getting on my toes. Grumble, gripe, complain, be dissatisfied, murmur, that we're prone to do, maybe in a time like this. I don't like it because we can't meet, but shall I murmur about that, complain about it, gripe about it, grumble about it? Under my breath, but God hears under my breath. I may hide it from my wife, but God knows what I'm grumbling in my heart. So in Numbers 14, the Lord says, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me?" See, they were murmuring against Moses, but they're really murmuring against God. And that's what we're doing. Whenever I just get to griping, I'm really griping against God. I'm not being thankful. I'm grumbling against the God of heaven who gave me my life, gave me my breath, gave me all the blessings that are innumerable, and a little setback. And what I do, if I don't be careful, I got to get to grumbling. So here the Lord said there in 14th chapter 27, I'll read you verse 27 and verse 29. "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me." And my friend God hears ours also. Verse 29, here's what happened to them because of this murmuring. There are some consequences, some great consequences. "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." And you know what, God? He doesn't let that generation go into Canaan's land. The only two of that whole generation who went to Canaan's land were Joshua and Caleb, because they wholly followed the Lord. They weren't griping and complaining. Now, let me tell you this. Murmuring is a characteristic of the unregenerate. We regenerate people should not be murmuring. We do that sometimes. I know that because we have a sinful nature. But we don't only have a sinful nature. All unregenerate people have a sinful nature. So let me read you a place over in the book. It's the book of Jude. Only has one chapter. I'll read you verse 16. This is people who are not born again. They're ungodly. But here's what characterizes them. We don't want to be characterized like they are. This is Jude, verse 16. "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, because of advantage." Murmurs, complainers, walking at their own lust, their own desires. Let's try not to be that way. Now, God gave in 1 Corinthians, he tells what happened. Paul telling here what happened back there in those places I read to you back in the book of Numbers and in the book of Exodus. And here's what Paul is warning the people about. Here, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. He gives some negative examples in 1 Corinthians 10, 10, more than one. I'm only going to give the one that's pertinent to this thing today about murmuring. There's several things he said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. I might recommend you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and say some things we need to avoid. But here's one of the things they had to avoid. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." There were consequences to their murmuring. And in our nation, I know we got a nation, my friend, we murmur a lot. I know God's children murmur some, but I tell you, unregenerate really murmur. They gripe and carry on all the time. Rights, rights, rights. You violate my rights. I deserve this. I deserve that. Get sick about it. People, they're so blessed over here. Some of the places I've been, like in India and Siberia, we got all this great health care and we got all this great affluence, and we have to worry about our getting overweight because we got so much to eat. And yet we murmur and complain if we don't be careful. Now, we're not in good company if we murmur. Let's look over just in the New Testament to a couple of places. These are the Pharisees. That's not a very good company to be walking with the Pharisees, is it? And you know who they murmured against? Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus did, they griped about it. Every time he healed somebody, they griped about it. You did it on the Sabbath day. Your people are eating corn on the Sabbath day. They're doing this and that and the other. Picking at everything he did. So in Luke 15, chapter 5, verse 30, but their scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Murmuring and complaining, griping. And then over in Luke 15:2, this is 15:2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Isn't that something? They're griping because he is eating with sinners. And he's a friend of sinners. They don't like that they're murmuring and complaining. Now, here's the root of murmuring is not being thankful. I'm going to read you two verses that demonstrate this. Not being thankful is what makes us murmur. So, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and he's talking about here people here, unregenerate people here. It's pretty obvious from the context. This is over in Romans 1:21. Because when they knew God, they knew him in a way. They didn't know him in a saving way, but they should have recognized him as being a great creator and a sustainer of the universe. Well, excuse me, they don't believe that. The Bible makes that plain. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Came vain their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. They were not thankful. Isn't that something? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul giving a category of people in the latter times who, and he talks about the very bad character. It sounds like 2020 to me. This sounds like 2020 in April 2020. This sounds like to me in the United States of America. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Isn't that something? We don't want to be that way. Now, I'd like for us to look at a song in our book. If you've got the book there with you, you might want to turn. It's 540 in the good old PBH. 540. And I'd just like to read you this song. I think it expresses things very, very well. All right, Wait and Murmur Not. That's the name of the song. So we'll read these three verses, and then I'll read the chorus maybe. Ready for this? Oh, troubled soul, there is a home beyond the reach of toil and care. A home where changes never come. Who would not fain be resting there? Yet when bowed down beneath the load, by heaven allowed an earthly lot, and God aligned this earthly lot we're in right now, look up, thou reach that blessed abode. Wait, meekly wait, and murmur not. Toil on, nor deem, though sore it be, one sigh unheard, one prayer forgot. The day of rest will dawn for thee. Friends, we got something great ahead of us. You know it. We can take anything, we can keep our eye on that. The day of rest will dawn for thee. Wait, meekly wait, and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait, and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait, and murmur not. Oh, wait, oh, wait. Oh, wait, and meekly wait, and murmur not. That's a great song, isn't it? Y'all people need that. That wouldn't have been the book. Nobody would have written that if we didn't need that. Let me give you a verse that I love so much that will be a prayer for us. This is in the song Spirit of God. This is 146. I'm not going to read the whole song. I'm thankful for Sister Melissa. She's my song analyst. And this week I got this clause on my mind. I couldn't get it off. I said, Sister Melissa, where is that? And she knew it immediately where it was. She knew the song. And so thank God for that. Okay, look. This is what you got to pray. Spirit of God. This is verse 4, and this is 146 of the PBH. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. teach me the struggles of the soul to bear. I know you're bearing struggle right now. I'm not diminishing that. To check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. I want to read that again. That, you ever heard the rebel sigh coming up? I do. Old stinking rebel, my old sinful nature. Getting griped off at God that's been so good to me. I have to admit it. I'm just going to admit it. Teach me to feel that thou art nigh, that thou art always nigh. Always nigh. Always nigh. Teach me the struggle of the soul to bear. It is a soul struggle. To check the rising doubt. Don't doubt, my dear friends. The rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. Now, let me give some scriptures on Thanksgiving. This is the part I really want to get to. I'm going to give you only two scriptures on Thanksgiving. But we need to cultivate this and ask God to help us. And let me tell you this. You will be blessed in obedience. It's always appropriate to thank God. It's always appropriate to praise God. I don't feel like praising God. That had nothing to do with it. Whether you feel it or not, it's appropriate to praise God. Wouldn't you admit that? Does God deserve our praise whether you feel it or not? I'm a hypocrite if I praise God and don't feel like it. No, you're not. You're not. You'd be a hypocrite if you said, I feel like praising God and lied about it. But it's always appropriate to praise God. So let me tell you what you need to do. Just start praising God. Yeah. Now, I found in my life, when I start praising God, pretty soon the Holy Ghost kicks in, and I feel like praising God. I got to break the ice, praise Almighty God, start thanking Him, and the Holy Ghost comes and helps me, because the Holy Ghost likes it when we praise God, and then we'll feel like praising God. Let me give you two wonderful scriptures. Hebrews 13:15. Now, you got to have God's help to do this. I know that. You can't even praise God unless He helps you. We're responsible to praise the Lord. We can't blame Him. We're not praising God. But anyway, we got to have His help to do it. So every verse here is important in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By Him, therefore, by Him, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually as the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That verse deserves to be quoted again. By Him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise. We don't live in the Old Testament. We offer lambs and other animals. We offer the sacrifice of praise. But guess what? We need to give God our best. In the Old Testament, God said, bring me a three-legged sheep. Don't bring me some blemished animal. I want the best of the flock. And friend, God wants our best praise. So by Him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And one more verse on Thanksgiving. This is over to this is Psalm 71, verse 8. This brings back memory to me. I used to teach boot camps down at Harmony Hill and used to really enjoy that a lot. Bible study for young people. And I remember this verse meant so much to me. I memorized how many words are in it. There are 15 words in this thing. I used to count on my fingers to make sure I didn't miss a word. But this is chapter 71, verse 8 in Psalms. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day long. Again, let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honor all the day long. Isn't that great? So let's ask God, Lord, help me. That's a prayer. Let my mouth, God, be filled with thy praise, with thy honor all the day long. Now I'm going to give you one more song and then read you another passage of scripture and I'll be through. Let's go to over in 473. You know this one pretty well. This is the way we are able to be thankful. A good way when we start counting our blessings. So I'm going to read the whole psalm. Ready? This is 473, count your blessings. When upon life billows your tempest toss, that's going on right now. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord does. Try it sometime. Try it today if you need to. Get a piece of paper out, start writing them down. If God gives you a little insight, you're going to be right for a long time. Yeah. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy? You're called to bear. Count your blessings. Every doubt will fly. You'll be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold that the Christ has promised you, his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, though your home on high, and it can't. Money, what you got, friend, if you're born again, money can't buy. But you're rich. Filthy rich. Well, not filthy rich. That's what all that says. You're rich. You know, I used to have a sermon. I need to preach it again sometime. I'm going to ask you a question. When you read the Bible, you read it like an heir or like a lawyer. You know, when people have an estate, lawyers read those things, but they're not, they get a fee out of it, but they don't get real excited. They're not a recipient of they're not an heir. But let's just say that I have a really, really rich uncle I didn't know about. And so he dies. And so they call me down to the lawyer's office. And he gonna read that will. I guarantee you, I'm gonna get more of that will that lawyer does. I'm gonna sit there and baby's breath. You mean I got $1 billion? Woo! I'm gonna really enjoy that. Brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, read it like an heir. Don't read it like a lawyer. Those promises belong to you, child of God. They belong to you. I don't know how to put my mind around this. I can't. But I know the Bible says in Romans 8, I don't know how to get a hold of this. I'll know someday I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. And that's something, an inheritance. All right. So amid the conflict, and we are in a conflict right now, let's admit it. We know we are. Whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is overall, folks. Count your many blessings. Angel will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Now I'm going to close with giving you a scripture in the Bible full of these. If you went to Psalms and other places, you can find all kinds. Say, well, I don't know how to praise God. Well, just read a scripture and say, Lord, that's how I feel. That's the deal. The Bible is a good prayer book. It's a good praise book. But one passage that has been a lot to me, I remember many, many years ago, we had a meeting at Red Chapel, and Brother Gary Beyer from Kentucky, he preached on this, and I was just moved. I forgot it's in the Bible. It's Isaiah 12, short chapter, only 6 verses. It's like a psalm. It's an example of praise. So let me read this to you. This is Isaiah 12, 6 verses. And that day, and this is, we're going to see what day this is. It's a day when Isaiah, or whoever wrote this, I guess it's Isaiah did, he had been out of fellowship with God. Evidently, he had been out of fellowship with God, maybe he committed some sin. And so he did not feel God's smiling face. And then God revealed to him, hey, I've forgiven you. We've all been through that. Isn't it wonderful to have a God like that? Every morning when I take a shower, I think of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's in a practical way. Isn't that wonderful? So Isaiah now has had fellowship restored with God, and he is ecstatic because there's nothing like fellowship with God. That's the greatest blessing we'll have on this earth, is to have conscious fellowship with God. When you got that, nothing can get you down. So we need to cultivate fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means us and God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's in our consciences. We get a conscience washed by his precious, fresh apprehension of his grace. You cannot overdo realizing how much God loves his children. Listen, friends. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We just can't comprehend God's love. So Isaiah's excited here, and I want you to be excited, even in the middle of this coronavirus thing. So I'll read these 6 verses. And that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also will become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. I like to see a real good preacher get a hold of that one, wouldn't you? I like to see a real good preacher get a hold of that. He can start talking about those wells of salvation. There are a lot of different kind of wells. And I'm not that good a preacher, but I tell you, I like to get a hold of one. Like old J.C. Philpott probably did a good job on this. I'm ready to look it up. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Get this last verse. I want you to do this. I want to do it. I want to do it. Sing unto the Lord. Right. No, that's not, not another best verse yet. This is a good verse. The last one is even better. Here's verse 5. Sing unto the Lord. He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Now, get a hold of this. I want you to believe this verse. It's not just a platitude. It's something God told us to do. And we can do it by his grace. May this virus, brethren, and the results from it, may be one of God's ways to bring revival. I've been praying for revival for years. A lot of you have. But God got ways of bringing it we may not have realized. Cry out and shout. What? Have you ever heard him shouting in the house of God? I have. It's been a long time, unfortunately. I did a funeral one time up in Ripley, Mississippi. Brother Hassel Wallace, my father in the ministry, had two old aunts, wonderful old Christian women, old, real old. And so Aunt Ollie died. And so we went to the funeral, and Aunt Bess, her sister, was at the funeral. And during the funeral, Aunt Bess started shouting praises to God. And the funeral home director, he got excited. He went down and tried to bring her some smelling salts and comfort her. And Brother Watson said, leave her alone. All she wants to do is praise God. Then she said, oh, I'm so sorry. But when I thought about how blessed that Aunt Ollie is in heaven right now, I couldn't have it. Sister Annie Henson, another old soul. She was poor as Joe's old turkey. That's a pretty good expression, isn't it? That's what my dad used to say. It must be poor. Poor Joe's old turkey. I've been in her house lots of times. No running water in the house. You talk about rough having to get out and go to the bathroom in December out in the outhouse. That's how poor she was. But Sister Annie was a wonderful woman. And so she was so broke when her husband died. It took her several years to pay his funeral bill off with her Social Security. But they had a rich man in that church who didn't ever give her a dime. He had a gravel pit on his property. He'd sit on his porch and watch the gravel truck go by. Every time he saw one go by, he'd make a mark, more money to pay. So one time I'm up preaching at Holy Wall, Tennessee, said to Annie, gets overcome by the Holy Ghost. She comes to the handshake, lifts her hand up, said, give me Jesus and take your money. And she meant it. My friend, she shouted. She has something to shout about. Cry out and shout, the inhabitant of Zion. That's the church of Jesus Christ. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. When we meet again, there'll be some of that going on. Don't you think so? Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. My friend, what's it going to be? Murmuring or thanksgiving. That's a slam dunk, isn't it? It's going to be thanksgiving. May God bless you. I love you, and I hope I can really be blessed. My soul needs to be fed. I hope he can feed my soul by God's grace. Let's pray for him.